Well, last night, the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol voted to hold Trump ally Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress. They made clear they believe Bannon played a role in organizing and inciting the insurrection. Bannon is not complying, refusing to provide his testimony or communications with then-President Trump to the committee, claiming executive privilege. Can he do that? Well, according to the Constitution, wait. It's not in there. It's not anywhere, really. Timothy Noah is staff writer for The New Republic. His recent piece is titled, Executive Privilege Was Way Out of Control Even Before Steve Bannon Claimed It, A Short History of a Made-Up Constitutional Doctrine That Gives Presidents Too Much Power, which gives you some idea of where he stands. We caught Tim on his cell phone at George Washington University, where he's teaching today. And Tim, you remind us, executive privilege was invented by Dwight Eisenhower in the 1950s?
That's right. I like to imagine that Ike was practicing his golf swing when he came up with it. Joe McCarthy wanted to call a couple of witnesses from the White House who had participated in a meeting in which members of the Eisenhower White House were discussing how to get Joe McCarthy off their back. A very reasonable...
And just to remind people, Joe McCarthy, the loathsome red-baiting demagogue.
That's right, yes. And so this was during the Army-McCarthy hearings, but McCarthy wanted to subpoena some members of the Eisenhower White House, and Eisenhower didn't want to let them go. So he decided that conversations among members of the executive branch could be confidential. Eisenhower wasn't a lawyer. He was a former Army general. You can see why a former Army general would think that conversation should be confidential. You know, loose lips sink ships. But he came up with it on the fly. 3 years later, the actual phrase executive privilege was invoked by an assistant attorney general claiming the same principle, confidentiality. Before then, though, you didn't have these very specific confidentiality claims. There were broad separation of powers disputes between the White House and Congress, but nobody ever called anything executive privilege, and nobody said that there was this presumption of confidentiality, as, for example, you would have when you talk to your lawyer.
Well, let's fast forward. President Richard Nixon claimed executive privilege to protect him from having to release his secretly recorded tapes. This was, of course, during the whole Watergate investigation. That went to the Supreme Court. What did the court say?
Well, they decided that the president was not allowed to make a broad claim of executive privilege to cover up criminal activities. And so they defined executive privilege fairly narrowly. And so this was a decision that was hailed by liberals at the time, hailed by good constitutionalists. President Nixon did have to turn over these White House tapes, which immediately showed that he had participated in the cover-up, and he was gone a month later. He had resigned. But what people tend to forget about that decision, U.S. v. Nixon, is that it was the first time the Supreme Court recognized that executive privilege was even a thing. And so it became a thing as a result of Nixon claiming it. Nixon was a veteran of the Eisenhower administration. And the Supreme Court said, yes, sure, it exists, but we are, you know, putting a fence around it. Well, merely acknowledging that such a thing as executive privilege existed invited future attempts to broaden it, and that's what's been happening ever since.
And by the way, there might be those who question Bannon's claiming of it in this instance, but do believe that there's a need to have the president have private conversations about state secrets or national security that, you know, are not made public. But here we are with Steve Bannon claiming executive privilege for a president who's no longer sitting. Has there been a case of that?
After U.S. v. Nixon, Nixon sued again, wanting to have control over his papers. And in that decision, the Supreme Court said he did have, even though he was no longer president anymore, Jimmy Carter was president, Nixon did have some very limited control over his papers based on executive privilege.
Well, so given that, Tim, and given, you know, what you've also expressed about the history, the very short history of executive privilege. How do you think Bannon's going to fare in his claim?
Well, I don't think he's going to be successful. He's the Congressional Committee has already ruled that he's in contempt of Congress. I think probably all of Congress will say that he's in contempt of Congress, and then it'll be up to Joe Biden's Justice Department whether they want to prosecute. In past times, the Justice Department's been very reluctant to prosecute these claims, but this might be an opportunity to finally put some limits on these growing claims of executive privilege.
Timothy Noah, staff writer for The New Republic, thank you so much.
Thank you.